I was checking out the map, and you guys are hitting everywhere that's beautiful. You're swinging up through the center of the country and then up around and into Canada, yeah?
Absolutely.
Hey?
Absolutely.
Hey?
Hey? Hey?
I said it's Monday. A fresh start, turn the page.
Say, if at first you don't succeed, I do it till you get good. Do it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of You Almost Had It. Episode 44. Y'all, still getting to be here with you. Super excited. My name is Vince Fabra. I am your host, joined by last week's guest host, Josh Arendi, Mr. Handyman. How you doing, Josh Arendi?
I'm still living the dream, man. God,
so good. It feels like yesterday you were just on the podcast.
It does actually feel like yesterday.
It does feel like yesterday. What's up? Joined by this week's fresh guest host, Sam Hendry. How you doing, Sam?
Fresh guest.
Fresh guest. Very excited. Yes, for sure. Sam Hendry, a comedian here in Charleston, South Carolina, a guy, a good friend of mine, filled with great stories, and just glad to have him on the podcast. But if you are joining that You Almost Had a podcast for the first time, let me tell you what you're listening to, folks. You're listening to a podcast about trying new things and then talking about those new things. We come on here, we share a couple stories where we came up a little bit short, almost had it, if you will. And then each week is centered around a weekly project. Go look at the other past episodes. We've done some pretty cool stuff, and this one is going to be right up there with some of the coolest. So, Sam Hendry.
Yes.
In an effort to introduce you to our listeners, we call them the Yahi Tunas.
Mm.
You almost had it. Y-A-H-I, Yahi, Yahi Tunas.
I love it.
Yeah. It works when you explain the joke, you know. That one works.
That's
how the best jokes work, yeah. So in an effort to introduce you, for them to just kind of pick up some of that great charm that you bring to the comedy stage, What is a story where you almost had it, man? Share a little bit. We're excited to listen.
Man. Yeah, there are many stories of failure in my life.
That's what every guest says. Right? I mean, Josh Arendi said last week that he could do 43 episodes on all his failures. Every guest always talks about there are so many times that I've failed.
Failure seems to be a very popular thing.
Yeah, because you don't forget it. It sticks with you.
Exactly.
And yes. You end up having imaginary conversations on what you wish you would have said or done.
So many times.
All the time.
I've been falling asleep and replayed those.
Yes. Sorry to interrupt, but I just felt like I had to point that out.
No, absolutely. That makes me feel better that I'm not the only one whose life is filled with failure. But man, in college, I definitely had a lot of... I was a little bit younger. I was a little bit dumber, and I did some things. So this was first semester freshman year of college.
All right. Just real quick, what are you looking like these days? Because right now, you know, you kind of go between some good mutton chops, good beard. You got a cool haircut. Like, what were you looking like in those days? 2006?
2009.
Okay. 2009. Cool.
So I was still babyface, couldn't grow a beard yet. Mm-hmm. I was rocking the faux hawk, which is still a very favorite look of mine.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the youth pastor look. So I was hanging out. It's first semester freshman year. You know, you're trying to be cool. You're trying to make an impression.
That's all you want to do is just be accepted.
Right, exactly. I just want to find my, you know, lifelong friends.
Exactly.
And so I was riding my bicycle, and my roommate was in his car, and somebody said, "Hey, you guys should race and see who would win, like on the street, me on a bicycle and him in a gas-powered vehicle.
Did you have a reputation of being like a really fast cyclist or something?
Not in the slightest. I don't even think people knew I could ride a bike.
Yeah.
But, and so I, you know, there's, we're looking at 18, 19-year-old Sam with a group of people who want to give him attention. He's going to do anything to get that attention. You know,
you're
going to
race that car.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And so we get out on the street, you know, he's revving his car and I'm just like ringing my bell sort of a thing. And,
You're like pedaling backwards, you know, like
exactly.
Yeah.
I'm just really revving it up. And so, so we start racing and I, was going pretty fast. I was winning, for most of it actually, because, you know, you can get going a little bit quicker on a bicycle.
Yeah.
And so I am, and people are screaming and yay, Sam, you're the greatest, blah, whatever. And, so I'm standing up and pedaling on my bike and my chain came off of my
bicycle. Whoa, that's how fast you were going.
It couldn't handle my speed, right?
Wow.
It just flew. It said I didn't sign up for this. And so it just, so that happened and I fell and my chest hit my handlebars. Ooh. And then I went over the handlebars and I slid for, let's not be dramatic, probably like 10 feet.
That's
and then
a good
I came
long
to a stop.
Slide on asphalt.
Mm, it was, and then actually my bike slid into me. It was very just TV perfect.
Yeah.
And so I got up and was screaming a lot because I had my shirt had ripped, and so I just had scrapes all down my back and my leg and all this stuff. And long story short, I went to the ER and I had broken my thumb.
Oh.
Which I did not know this, but I learned it from my x-rays, is that your thumb is a ball and socket joint, and I cracked the socket part in half, like
yeah,
down the middle. And so they had to put these pins in my hand for 9 weeks that were sticking out of my hand. So I had a cast on for the first 9 weeks of the first semester of school. Yeah, and
yeah,
that was sort of the reputation. And then what was weirder is I went to go get the pins removed 9 weeks later, right? I was very sick of this whole thing.
Yeah.
And the doctor shows up. First of all, he had a cast on his foot, which I think is very unnerving.
Yeah, that's alarming.
Yeah. It's like your mechanic getting out of a cab, you know what I mean? Just like, shouldn't you feel like you should have this together?
Yeah, man.
But then I asked him if it was gonna hurt. Getting the, because they were just threw my hand into my bone, and he was like, well, you know, when you're eating spaghetti and you swallow a noodle, but you don't swallow it all the way, and then you pull it out of your throat, that's what it's gonna feel like.
Oh, okay.
I was like, are you a real doctor? I don't know what we're, I don't know what we're doing here. It hurt, by the way, a lot.
Yeah.
And then that was my reputation. I was the kid with the cast on his arm for the first semester of college.
Man,
it was wonderful. A great legacy.
What about that experience did you take with you? You know, what about that experience that you wish you had done differently? Do you wish you had a different bike, maybe?
I was
going to
say, maybe a
speed?
Reinforced chain. Exactly,
yeah.
Yes. I probably should have had what are the kind that Lance Armstrong rides? That's the only one that can really keep up with the strength of these quads, you know?
Yeah. How did the faux hawk handle the spill? Were you rocking a helmet in those days? Probably not. You're trying to be cool in college.
Yeah. The number one rule of the faux hawk is don't cover the faux hawk.
Don't cover the faux hawk.
The helmet was out of the question.
Out of the question. Absolutely. Well, it sounds like that was a poor way to end that summer and start that fall, you know.
Yes.
And you only get a certain amount of summers. You know what I'm saying?
You only get a
certain amount of summers. 5-star segue. Talking to Josh Arendi of 12summers.net.
Incredible,
Josh. We are so excited. You gave a little teaser for those that listened to episode 43 when you were telling the listeners where they can find you. And you talked a little bit about this family vacation that you're about to embark on. Talk to us a little bit about the inspiration for 12 summers and then the crazy adventures that you have lined up. And we'll talk specifically about camping, because I know you've had some good campground experiences for the first time here recently. So Let's just talk, man. 12 summers. Where did that come from?
Thanks for asking. Yeah, you have a... You know that moment whenever you just completely put your foot in your mouth in front of a good friend, and you're just going to go ahead and remember that forever? Yeah, so this is kind of where... This is how it all begins, right? So a good friend of mine, Dan Duncan, is standing in my kitchen, as I recall it, and he's telling a wonderful story about Disney and small children and kind of an aspirational go-to Disney's type of story, right? And I just, you mentioned this on the last podcast, but I'm like the cheapest of all of my friends. And
you hate spending money.
And I just felt like I really needed to jump in, and I just went on a rant about how dumb and irresponsible it is to take small children to Disney. It's a total, you know, it's a total sham. It's a complete waste of money. No. They're not going to remember anything, right?
Yeah.
And Dan just listens and listens and listens, and then I kind of come down off my rant, and he just continues his story and says, "And I'll be taking my three children, including our new baby, to Disney," you know, and just literally all the way down my throat, right? And I can feel like complete garbage, but he's, you know, Dan's a gentleman. He just continues. And so I'm trying to find a way to like circle back and apologize, but not like, you know what I mean? I can't like just man up, apologize. So I'm just like, oh, you know what I mean? Like I just have this, whatever. So I make up some stuff, and he goes, he's like, man, he's so nice about it. He goes, man, I totally get it. He said, here's the deal. He goes, my youngest son, he goes, you're right. He probably isn't going to remember it, but you know what? We're going to remember him being there with us.
Yeah,
and I was like, definitely. Oh, that's good, right?
That's good.
And he said, here's the deal, Josh. He goes, my oldest daughter's, I think at the time she was 8 or so, right? He said, when I think about my summer vacations, they are the best memories of my life. He goes, that family time is precious. It's a lifetime of memories, right? And he said, for him, he's like, I've only got 10 summers with my three kids before the oldest goes off to college. You know, this is when you think about it in terms of a checklist, if you've only got 10 opportunities, man, each one of those are so precious. And then like he's literally doing the math right for my kids. And he goes, you got 12 summers. What are you going to do with your 12? And like, it's like that moment when somebody just walks in and rocks your frickin' world. I mean, he might as well have just ripped the mat out from under my feet in my own kitchen. Wow. You know what I mean?
Let me just ask a quick question. Cause Dan sounds a little bit like a youth pastor. Does he have a faux hawk? Is he rocking a faux hawk, Dan?
Oh my God. If he would just put on a wig of a faux hawk, that would make my day.
That's all he's missing.
That's the best visual right now. Yes.
Sam comes from that world. So certainly. You feel some kind of inspiration from that, like the make the most out of life kind of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's very, very seize the day, sort of mentality. That's crucial in that culture. It's wonderful.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but I'm like, here's the deal. Like, I'm wired to have a good time and go out and have fun and prank and just be silly, right? But I'm also like more hardwired to like delayed gratification. I take a weird like sense of pride around. I will take as long as humanly possible to build toward a goal. And I won't stop till I get there, right? And I will sacrifice everything along the way. I don't know why. This is probably some childhood stuff. You can bring a psychologist on next time. But, you know, like that's kind of how I'm wired, right? And so literally since 2006, I've been saving and preparing for this life goal of, you know, at the time I was calling it early retirement at 40. You know, and so this summer I turned 40 and started to have this midlife crisis. And I'm like, what the heck am I going to do next? And it, I don't want a Corvette, right? Like I probably need a little hair replacement surgery, but that's not what we're going to do with the money, right? So like, what am I going to do to celebrate my family and the things I care most about? That's what I'm saying, man. If I had a faux hawk, do you think I should color it? Like what color should I go with?
Like a blonde.
You think I'm like blue?
Tips.
Am I like blue? Oh, blonde tips or not like blue or green? Blonde. That's hot, man. Boy bands were rocking whenever in my youth. I'd do that.
Yeah, man.
I'd do that.
Well, so how long ago was this conversation with Dan?
Oh, this is like less than 12 months.
Okay, cool.
This is the beginning of 2017.
That idea and that kind of realization had been kind of living inside you, and it starts to take shape, you know, because you sent this website that, you know, pre-launch day probably about 2-3 weeks ago. So what's that 12 months look like, and how does that kind of marinate and develop into what it is now.
Yeah, I mean, there's the real long version. I'll spare everybody listening the long version, but there's, you know, for years, Denise and my wife's Denise and I have been talking about, let's take a big trip, or to be honest, this isn't us talking, this is me talking to her saying, I want to take a big trip, yeah. Right? Let's, like, trying to convince her, let's go do this, let's do something wild, let's live overseas, let's go to 12 countries in 12 months, right? Crazy stuff. And
yeah.
When she tells the story to our friends, like, over dinner, right? Like, she would say, you know, he won't shut up about talking about these, you know, about doing a wild adventure. And every time he mentions a place, all I can picture are, like, thieves and rapists in dark alleys.
Sure.
You
know,
they want to steal our children.
Yeah.
And so, right, so I'm like, oh, let's go to fill in the blank, doesn't matter where. And
yeah.
She basically, you know, Denise has, you know, resting, you know, what is it, RBF, right?
RBF?
I don't know if I can
yeah,
say
yeah,
that on
yeah.
your podcast. Yeah, 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 right. So anyway, so she, you know, she stone faces me, and right, and she just, no, that's no. Or she'll
yeah.
just politely nod, right? I think you get that a little bit from Lindsay, just polite
mm-hmm,
nod, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, we started talking about, like, okay, what's doable, what's plausible. And I had a good friend, shout out to Jim Brown. And by good friend, I mean, I met him one time. It was a networking meeting, but he's a
shout
smart
out.
Guy. Right. And he says, he said he was preparing to do a year with their, his wife and their kid, and they were going to go abroad. He was living my dream. Right. And so I'm like,
yeah,
how did you get her on board? And he says, common sense, but he says, this is brilliant. He goes, I stopped trying to convince her to do my dream. And he said, I just started asking her what she wanted. And he goes, I started sending her some pictures and some blogs of people that were doing things I thought were cool. And he goes, the more it became her idea, the more it became our idea. And all
like
of a sudden
that.
It worked.
Absolutely.
Right. And I was like, oh, light bulbs go off. Right. And so I start sending Denise some blogs that Jim recommended. We start talking at night about, like, what she wants, not about what I'm trying to convince her of. And then fast forward several months, and that all kind of morphs into, let's stay stateside. Let's travel for 7 months. She can quit her job. I'll take a full work sabbatical. It then turns into, let's get an RV. That
yeah.
morphs into, let's get an Airstream. Now we need a big F-250 truck to pull it around. And it turns out for the next 7 months, I'm going to be living in state parks and RVs and seeing the most beautiful parts in North America with a 6-year-old, a 3-year-old, and my wife.
Wow.
God. That's so great, man. Seizing
yeah.
the day.
Thanks for letting me give you the semi-long version.
Yeah. So one thing that you did a great job of on last week's episode is, you know, last week's episode was me, you, and Andy just kind of venting about the insecurities of not being able to fix things in our houses as men, right? And then you were like, hey, by the way, here are some resources. And I think that mm-hmm. probably was maybe the most helpful part. I'm sure listeners enjoyed kind of hearing people have similar problems, just like Sam mentioned at the top. We all fail. It's very common. But the resources, I'm going to download Thumbtack, you know, and try to get that electrician thing fixed here at my house. So what are some resources that you've come across and kind of put together so people, even if they want to do the smallest version of what you're doing, they can kind of know where to go and where to start?
Yeah, I'll throw a couple out. So first, I feel like this whole conversation needs an asterisk with a disclaimer that says this guy has no idea what the hell he's talking about.
Exactly.
Like, I haven't even left
sure.
for the trip, right? And
yeah.
I am I'm unqualified to take my family on this trip, so please be careful following my advice. That's what
yeah.
you should say. But I'll tell you, the way that we've got to this point, the blogs that I referenced, Recalculating Route was the first blog that I sent Denise that got us thinking. Great pictures, kind of photojournalism of a real family. The other one is Take That Exit, which for everybody
ooh,
who's an Airstream
I like
lover,
that name.
Take That Exit is another
these
another
are some great names.
Yeah, for
some,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man, the vloggers and bloggers in this world, great names and cool personalities. I can't wait
yeah.
to meet some of these folks, right?
Yeah.
And then like the most like to me, the highest quality, like video blog, like YouTube, it might be the only YouTube channel I subscribe to.
Okay.
There's one called, it's called Keep Your Daydream. And man,
ooh.
These guys are on it, man. Like good, really good. So if you want to get hyped up about the type of trip I'm talking about, those are three great blogs and vlogs you can check out.
Outstanding.
Man, that sounds really cool. All right, so those were the blogs that kind of helped you develop the dream, get Denise on board, make it more y'all's idea as opposed to just your idea. What about mm-hmm. the practical, hard, like, I'm about to hit the road, I need, you know, supplies, I need to make sure, and I'm sure these things you mentioned provide a little bit of that, but are there some just, like, really just hardcore information, this is what I'm about to embark on kind of thing?
Oh, yeah. It's not easy. You kind of have to piece it all together yourself. Yeah. I'll tell you, one of the places we started was trying to figure out, well, where do we want to go?
Yeah.
And originally we thought, well, let's go see all 48 states. And I didn't prepare the resource to tell you ahead of time, but if you just Google search, shortest route 48, lower 48.
Yeah.
There's a guy, I think his name's Olson maybe, but he literally like calculated the shortest possible route while seeing main attractions in all 48 yeah. states. And we were like, boom, this is amazing. We don't have to do the work. Yeah. And then we realized there's like a dozen states that I couldn't care less what's in their state, if I'm being sure. totally honest.
Yeah,
right.
Guys.
And so we said, and then it became like,
but shout out
really,
to the tunas in all 50 states.
That's
you guys.
That's right. That's right. But then it became like, do we really want to go out of our way to put our toe in a state that just isn't that important to us? So
yeah.
Instead of being all 48, we said, let's talk about on that pathway, what are the things that we want to do to kind of manipulate the route to go to the things that are important to us? So
yeah.
Big thanks to that resource, but then we kind of made it our own.
Modified.
So I had a quick
Absolutely.
Question.
That's right. That's right.
I'm sure that in this process in the past year, you've sort of hit a lot of obstacles that may have made you want to just sort of give this whole thing up and sort of scrap the idea. Have there been any of those, and sort of what was the thing that kept you pressing forward on this thing?
Good question.
Thanks, buddy.
Well, I would say the obvious answer is yes, and it is daily. I mean, it is daily, but it's not always like, sometimes it's the big things and sometimes it's the small things. Like, Vince, we'll probably talk a little bit about this shakedown trip that I took. You know,
we're going to talk about
I
that
took the
shakedown
truck,
trip.
The big man truck and the big 31-foot Airstream down Route 70 or across Route 70 out to central PA. And I learned how incompetent I am at this lifestyle really quick. And so there was definitely a little bit of doubt around if every stop along the way is a disaster the way this one was, like, what am I getting myself into? And like, it was like all in good fun. Like, we left the trip with a smile on our face and we loved it. And sometimes the worst things were the best things, right? So you keep it in perspective. But in all honesty, if I had to redo that for 7 months, like, my family would quit me. You know, they'd find another, they would find another dad that they could just adopt along the way that knows how to use a trailer hitch. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That your blog would just turn into like a Craigslist ad, you know?
Yeah, like, that's right. That's right. Well, and here's another, so
dad.
If those are the big things, right? Like, there's, Sam, you'll appreciate this. Like, there's the small things, which are like my wife and I getting stressed about different things in preparation for the trip. And so literally last night, you know, we had a little like couples fight, which isn't a real fight. It's just like, we're both sort of annoyed with each other.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so in typical, this is kind of a money conversation, right? And
sure.
The frustration was around like, she's my perception. This is my version of the story, right? We have a budget. That budget doesn't appear to have boundaries the way I thought it did. And there seem to be baskets and compartments of things that are showing up to put stuff in that we haven't bought, which makes me feel we're going to buy more stuff to put in nooks in a new trailer. And I'm losing my damn mind, right? And so her version, I'm going to do my best to convey hers, which isn't fair, but I'm going to do my best, right?
Yeah.
It's like, we're going to live in this and it's going to be our home for 7 months. And, you know, we have a budget, but it's a flexible budget. And don't we want to make this feel like home, right? And we don't want, you know, you don't want to open up the trailer one day because you arrive somewhere and there's ketchup all over the place because a door flew open, right? Or you have a basket, right? Totally practical. It's not like my wife is not like a crazy, you know, spend millions of dollars person. But in the pressure of, oh my God, we're about to actually leave on this trip, you know, for 7 months. I'm not going to live in my home, you know, like, I have strangers that are leasing my home for the next 7 months. You know, I have my cars that are going to be, you know, not my cars anymore for a little while. I have, you know, everything I know, my job that is my identity is no longer part of my daily life. Like, that stuff is scary. So it makes the little things become big things. So, Sam, if I'm being real vulnerable, that's my life right now.
Catch up, baskets, man. What are we here to do? mean?
Yeah, everything starts getting way more real when packages start showing up. You know what I mean?
Oh, dude.
Oh, God, yes. I got to find a spot for all this stuff.
Yes. Oh, good God. Like, even learning where to put your stuff. I mean, it's like, and a trailer isn't like, oh, you just walk into the hotel and you just have a nice little dresser with perfect square. Have y'all ever seen an Airstream? Like, it looks like a toaster oven, and it's a big round thing. There are no squared off drawers. You know what I mean? It's like, try to figure out how to put your clothes in this round, weird, corner shaped, you know, thing that has a bar across it. Like,
yeah,
good luck. They don't make a basket that size.
The only Airstream that I've been inside of, quote unquote, was in the movie The Accountant with Ben Affleck. Have you guys seen that movie?
No.
Well, I actually haven't either, but I wish I had, only for the Airstream reference.
Yeah, well, he's like an accountant that uncooks the books for, like, you know, war criminals and really dangerous people. And then he keeps his life in an Airstream, basically. So he has a home, but his real stuff is in his Airstream. And so, because he just hooks it up to the back of his truck, and he can kind of create a new identity on his way to the next place to park the Airstream. So
are you saying that this is what Josh is secretly doing?
And I'm now saying maybe Josh is in.
If that's your real name.
If that's your real name.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Yeah.
I cannot confirm nor deny.
Absolutely. But going back to the idea of, you know, the shakedown trip, which we'll talk about in a second, are you excited, and do you believe that in, you know, 3 to 4 months, halfway through the trip, that you'll be so much better at this? Like, do you believe that is happening, or do you kind of feel like every trip's going to be a disaster?
No, I actually feel like I'm going to get better at this.
You know, yeah, good.
I'll get better, and then I'll discover something else I'm not good at along the way. So it'll be a constant process of failure, but I anticipate new failures, not the same one for 7 months in a row.
Exactly. Well, Josh, tell us a little bit about the specifics of this shakedown trip. This was your first time. You went from Indianapolis to Pennsylvania to visit your folks for Thanksgiving. Is that correct?
That's true. It was a recommendation from a friend. Shout out to Garrett, who's living full time with his wife and an RV. He's a developer, a software developer. And cool. They just, you know, you ask him where he lives, and he has to pause for a moment to figure out where he's parked, which is kind of a cool,
yeah, man.
Just kind of a cool lifestyle, right?
I love that.
And he said, hey, if you're going to do this, why don't you do a shakedown trip? And I was like, well, it sounds cool, but I don't know what that is. And he said, just a practice run. He goes, just take this thing somewhere far enough away that you actually have to camp, but not so far away that you can't cry for help. And I said, good tip.
Yeah. So, that's a very smart
idea. Garrett, he knows what's up.
Shouts out.
That's right. So we did it. We went out to Central PA to have Thanksgiving with my family. The idea was to stay in the trailer for 3 days and turn around and come back and tell everybody that we know how to do this. And it turns out we did drive out there. We did not stay overnight in our trailer for 3 total nights.
Really?
That was not no. That actually wasn't possible because I apparently don't know how to work a trailer. So we had to call my parents and say, hey, what do you think about us staying with you tonight? And yeah, nothing like tucking your tail between your legs when you call your mom in front of your wife, right?
Yeah.
And so, and then we went and drove home and figured out that we probably have a little maintenance that needs to be done on the truck and a little maintenance that needs to be done on the Airstream. So as I'm sitting here with you today, 11 days from the trip, I have neither the truck nor the Airstream in my possession to make this trip.
Okay.
So add that to the storyline.
They're getting fixed.
Yeah, everything's getting fixed. The guy at the Airstream dealer said it's a little like building a house. These things are handmade. There's a punch list. You know, things are gonna come up, right? He doesn't say go wrong. Things are gonna come up, right? And we're gonna take care of them for you. You just need to make a little list of what they are. And I was like, oh, what does that mean? And he was like, you know, maybe like a hinge on a dresser or something. And I'm like, I can make that list, right? I didn't know he meant like, oh, there's mysterious water coming from underneath the bed. And and by the way, you can't actually make the water work in your trailer because you apparently don't know how to work it, even though they gave you a 3-hour tutorial. Can we talk about that for a second, Vince? Okay. So I want to know if you identify with this. When anybody in my life gives me instructions, the moment they get past number 2, I'm already aware I'm going to forget something. Right.
Yeah,
like, when they get to number 3, I begin repeating all 3, which means I have no idea what number 4 was. Does that make sense to you? Okay.
Yep.
And so Imagine going through 3 hours of training about how to use your RV while your wife and children are with you. And the children are running and screaming and going in and out of the RV. And your wife is looking at you like, how do you not know this? Right. You get the idea, right? And so I just did a lot of head nodding and like trying to focus. Right. And at the end of it, I was like, I could probably figure it out. I'll YouTube video it. Right. And so that was the game plan. I listened as best I could, and then I counted on YouTube videos to save me. And
I
want to
tell you, on the Blu-ray of The Accountant, there is a deleted scene. It's all Airstream repair instructions. So,
oh,
I'm just kidding. That's a joke that didn't land. Is what that is. That's a joke that didn't land. So.
Bonus features.
I was really close to buying that movie. I really couldn't believe it. In the back of my head, I was like, maybe I am going to buy that movie.
I want the Affleck to tell me how to make a streamer work, you know?
Yeah, but as a very sullen, on the spectrum, cold-blooded killer.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's basically, that would be a really tremendous, tremendous tutorial there. So Josh, so you are 11 days away. So we're recording this on Tuesday the 12th. It'll air much closer to your departure. So what are some things that you are on the checklist, big and small, and then also, you know, your confidence level going into the first couple of trips and stops and things like that?
Sure. Well, I'm going to throw another plug out there. If anybody goes to 12summers.net, they're going to just be able to click on map, and they can see exactly where we're going, when we're going.
Sweet.
There. Probably to a fault, people can see where my whole family is, right? But... please don't come and attack us in the middle of the night. I don't know how to defend my children or my wife. So just a little plug out there, right?
If any Yahi tuna goes off the handle and tries to seek you guys out and gets arrested, that could really put the podcast on the map. I just want to say that, you know?
Yeah, that's a lot of great publicity.
That's the silver lining when my family's massacred. That's great.
The silver streamlining. Okay, here we go.
Oh, hey-o. I see what you did there. That's what we should call
the
blog.
He's a comedian, y'all.
Oh my God. So yeah, I'm pumped about the trip. I mean, truthfully, like Vince, this, like, how cool is this? We get the best places in North America, like the most scenic, most beautiful, coolest attractions, I get to go with my family. And like that's
looking at your map earlier, and I was checking out the map, and you guys are hitting everywhere that's beautiful. You're swinging up through the center of the country and then up around and into Canada. Yeah,
absolutely.
Hey,
absolutely.
I love it.
Hey. And not just, here's Vince, you'll appreciate this. For everybody who listens, who travels, they'll appreciate this. When you travel for work, it's not the same as traveling for pleasure, right? And I love work travel, but man, it's not this, like, when you're not traveling with the people you love, it's not the same. Is that, you know what I'm saying, Vince?
Yeah.
Like it's like I do like traveling, but when I'm on, I'm going to convention centers and hotels and college campuses. But
absolutely.
I'm not seeing the town. I don't get a sense of the culture. I'm not looking at landscaping. I'm certainly not staying an extra day to do something fun for myself. I'm trying to get home.
Yeah.
And so now even the places,
it's a different mindset
entirely. Even the places that I've already been, I'm excited to go because I feel like I'm going to see them for the first time with my kids. Like that's beautiful.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's good. I mean, everywhere from, you know, Disney to Vail to Banff and Whistler and gosh, I mean, Vegas and, it's everywhere. I mean, literally, we're trying to cover the whole trip. Boston, Montreal, you know, we'll be in D.C. We're everywhere. So I'm real excited about seeing all those places with my family.
And I am on the maps page right now, and I'm very excited for what seems to be your fourth stop, Charleston, South Carolina, my friend.
You know, I know somebody that lives there, and there's
Sam.
A baby. That's true. Well, that's true, but he wasn't the baby I was excited to come and see. I mean, Sam, if you need me,
well, I take offense to that.
I mean, if you want me to hold you in my arms and cuddle you, I will, but that's not really what I was thinking.
Yeah, man, we can make that happen. I'm really excited for you to meet our baby and meet Sam. So Josh, I definitely want to circle back to a conversation we had the last time we got to see each other at the work conference that we attended, where you were talking a little bit about, you know, what you hope to communicate with this experience is, mm-hmm. hey, you know, I'm not some kind of bajillionaire that's just taking this kind of 7-month vanity trip and telling you about my cool life. Like, there are some real accessible numbers to this. Talk a little bit more about that if you'd like to.
Yeah, I do. I guess the biggest thing I want to make sure that people hear is, like, when we tell people we're doing this, they get so excited, right? And people say, that's my dream, or that's crazy, that's awesome, you're doing it, I love it. But then there's almost like this either undertone or a direct comment of, like, they don't feel like they can. And I just don't really buy into it. Like, take your family on adventures, right? It doesn't have to be across the country all the time, but there's ways to do it, and there's certainly ways to do it affordably. And so, yeah, I've been spending a lot of time trying to figure out how to make sure we can do this trip and do it in a way that, you know, that we're going to be happy. It's going to build the memories we want. And I think everybody else can do that too. So,
and do you think, once you got over the financial hurdle of saying, like, oh, we could, there's definitely a chance that we could do this for, you know, I'm not going to have to win the lottery to make this happen. Do you think that was something that helped you sort of step out of your comfort zone and say, okay, you know, let you wade a little bit deeper into the deep end? Have there been any other things that you've overcome that you didn't anticipate overcoming?
Well, plenty, right? But so a practical example, right, is think about, like, housing because that's most people's largest expense, right?
Sure.
And so I just, you know, I kind of anticipated y'all might ask me something about, like, the cost or some of that. So I just did a quick Google search last night, right? And the average median U.S. income for a family is about $63,000, right? And housing represents about $850 a month. So if you just say $850 a month is normal, right, for a family, that comes down to about $28 a night. You pay $28 a night to live in your own house. If you look at most people who are living in RVs or living some kind of a full-time RV lifestyle, they're talking about their average nightly rate somewhere between $10 and $20 a night. So literally you can save money, right, by not living the current life you're in, right? And that doesn't mean it's a downgrade. It's just a different life. And so to your question, I think what was helpful for us was the mindset that we're not going on vacation. We're choosing to live our life in a different way for about 7 months. Hmm. And so we're going to go to some great places and do some cool stuff, right? But we do cool stuff in Indiana where we live too. And so all we're doing is taking our current budget and we're spending it in a different way. And a big helpful way to do that in terms of housing for us was getting someone to lease our current house, which then paid for the mortgage and, in our case, a little bit extra, which creates some spending money to be able to do some of these extra fun trips.
For some baskets. Got to get them baskets, man.
Yeah, yeah. We're spending all of that, all the extra money on the baskets. That's right.
Love you, Denise.
True.
Well, I mean, we're about there. We're about to, you know, segue into the Remember When, where Sam and I are going to come up with a good buddy story from our comedy experiences together. But is there anything else? I feel like we've covered so much. The inspiration, where this idea came from, 12summers.net. Check that out. Can't plug it enough. It's a great website that Josh and his family are doing a good job keeping it up and sharing the journey. I just joined the mailing list, man.
I was going to say, me too.
Yeah, for sure. So everybody that, you know, is excited about this type of adventure and following along, definitely join that mailing list for sure. And then specifically about the Shakedown trip, what were some of those challenges that you overcame and maybe the first few things that you felt like you've learned about this experience? I think that might be a great place to close it out.
Yeah, well, I don't know what I don't know. What I'd love to do is maybe we'll do a part two. Maybe we'll do one in like 8 months when I come back and I'll tell you if we survived or not. That'd be fun.
God.
We'll see if I actually made it happen. But here's the strange sense of calm that I have is that things have broken and things will break, and I'll do my best to fix them, but like the stuff isn't going to define the experience. Like, it's just time with my family is the magic. And then the spin on that is every time somebody tells me about their version of the story, you know, the summer vacations that their families used to go on, they never tell me the story about like what they planned. right? They never say like, yeah. Oh yeah, we had this perfect plan and we executed the plan and it was beautiful. They always say, oh my God, my dad went down this trail road and he almost killed us, right? Or there was this bear came out of the woods. It's like, it's always the tragedy that creates lifelong memories and great comedy and stuff. So like, I'm choosing not to be afraid of the unknown and the things that go wrong. I'm just embracing it. And I'm knowing that, you know, we're going to get through all of it as a family and it's going to make us better. That's the whole point of adventures.
That's
outstanding.
That's really wonderful. Hey, Sam, did you think Josh was about to make a rhyme when he started with things may happen and things may break? I thought a rhyme was coming.
I thought we were in the middle of a haiku.
I've been reading a lot of Dr. Seuss lately. It's just happening. It just happens in the day, right?
For sure, man. Also, shout out to the freestyle rap episode. Go back and listen to that one, you know, on the Yahoo podcast. But Josh, I love you so much. I'm so happy for you and your family, and can't wait for you to come to Charleston, South Carolina. And we will not break out the microphones because we will just make sure to soak up all the family and friend time that we can together. But definitely looking forward to the 12 summers recap. You know, maybe that be at the Grand Canyon or wherever you might be. I'll check the map and maybe we can line something up.
I like that. Thanks for letting me come in and tell our story.
God, this is going to be so great. Yeah, so again, 12summers.net, check that out. Sam Hendry, what you got, man?
Yes.
What comes to mind? Remember when? Let's just reflect. There's so many good giggles we've had together.
I don't know, man. The comedy scene is a weird one because it is constantly filled with bizarre happenings. And
yeah, just like Josh said, like you don't remember the shows that go perfectly. You remember the bizarre... The bear came out and ate the food, and you know we went down the trail road kind of story. So
yeah, I do sincerely love when you get angry at audiences. It tickles me to death, and I don't know why. Several times I have seen Vince for a wide array of reasons just let an audience have it, and it is so satisfying to my soul.
Well, I will say that I feel like both you and I, our stand-up persona at rest, our resting stand-up persona is very similar. We like to be very affable, very friendly, a little self-deprecating, but smart, and we like to showcase kind of our range of knowledge on a lot of different topics, right?
Sure.
But I do have this dark side, man.
And that's what's so incredible is you're such this likable, warm, welcoming person. So just to see you just go way over the top, obviously, like, for the bit.
But yeah.
It's so makes my heart so happy.
Yeah. It's fun. Sometimes I regret the place I get to, you know. There's only been one or two instances where I like saw red and was like, I don't know what just happened. I kind of blacked out a little bit, you know. But I think one time in particular, it was pretty recently, and we were at an open mic, you and I, and I think you had performed, and I had gone later in the set or later in the night, and we had like two to three great rows of good laughers, just like some really into it people, which is all you can hope for at an open mic.
That's it, man.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's all you need. And I just remember, like, I had them rolling, right? And, like, rows four back was complete silence, you know?
Not having it. They just were not having it at all.
And I just was like, these first three rows are carrying this show. Like, everybody here back sucks so hard. I hate you. Why'd you even come out tonight, dude? And I just remembered, like, that got you so good. And then, I was
dying.
Yeah, I cut into them, but then had to like, lick their wounds and, like, calm them down, you know, right afterwards.
Yeah, and you got them in the end. Everybody was rolling by the end of it.
Exactly.
Which is, it's so incredible to see someone, like, sort of, quote-unquote, scream at somebody and then get that person laughing.
Yeah.
It's just, you're just such a good comedian, dude. It's unbelievable.
Oh, well, I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. That wasn't where I hoped this was heading, but I'll take it. I'll take it. VinceFaber.com, you guys. Go check me out. But yeah, man, like that's stand up so weird because
there you go.
Yeah, because sometimes you'll try to duplicate that or replicate that the next night, and it and you'll get in a bar mm-hmm. fight. You know what I'm saying? Like it'll never happen the same way
exactly.
twice. You know
exactly.
And so I love it so much. I love it so much for its kind of unpredictability. It's
there's sincerely nothing else like it.
Yeah, maybe on the road, Josh Randy, you find an open mic or you create like a RV park talent show.
Maybe. I feel like every trailer park in America is a built-in open mic show. I'm gonna
there you go.
I'm gonna stand out like a sore thumb, man.
You guys know I'm all about the movie references. We might edit this out if I can't figure out what it is. Oh, I think it was Into the Wild with what's that guy? Emil Hirsch, when he like goes and lives in Alaska. On his way, he gets picked up by some RV livers, played by Catherine Keener and another person, and they have like a cool kind of bohemian open mic night at the RV park. So maybe you could try stand up, Josh.
If it happens, I'll take a little video and I'll send it to you.
or you could just take a note from Dr. Seuss and do some poetry, you know,
or some freestyle rap.
There we go.
You guys are
episode 53. Yeah. I don't know what episode it was.
Freestyle rap at the RV park talent show.
Love it.
Hell yeah. All right, guys. So excited that these last two episodes were perfect. I just needed some good laughs with some good friends. I appreciate y'all. So let's close it out hard. Sam Hendry, tell the people where they can find you, man.
You can find me at the Sam Hendry on all social media networks. You can catch me at your local comedy open mic, wherever you live in the greater 48 states. Josh has a map to show you where I'm doing stand-up.
Yeah, yeah, he's all over there. He's
that's actually our entire trip. We're just following Sam around the country. We didn't mention that part.
Exactly. Josh Arendi, final plugs, man. Tell the people what they where they can and can't reach you over the next 7 months.
Well, you've mentioned that 12summers.net a few times. I hope people will check that out. But I also share with you that's the first website I've ever built. So be gentle when you're there and be kind. And I also I'm trying the Instagram thing for the first time. So 12summersfamily. You can go ahead and look us up. We're trying to post at least one picture a day on the trip to document this thing.
Perfect. You guys, VinceFabra.com, Vince Fabra on all social media. On Instagram, I don't post. I only follow my wife. I won't enrich your life in any way. YahiPodcast.com, YahiPodcast on Instagram and Twitter. You almost had it on Facebook. Just want to say, I checked our website last night for the first time, went into the analytics. We've got some clicks from around the world. I don't know if those are friends that travel abroad or if we've got some international listeners. I appreciate y'all wherever you're tuning in and however you're tuning in.
Yeah.
Go ahead, rate and review on the podcast app and there in iTunes. We've got a good collection of 5-star reviews. Feel free to add to that. But I appreciate y'all. Josh, hopefully you'll figure it out and do it till you get good.
I think so, too. I hope so,
Vince,
too.
Thank you for having me on.
Later, y'all.
I do it till you get good.